Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, archaeologist Clayton Van Hus will keep us biblically grounded, and Donald Perkins will help us better understand the book of Revelation with his verse-by-verse series. Friends, we need your help today. Giving is down this month, and a one-time gift or a new monthly gift will help us keep Watchmen on the Wall on the air this summer. Please prayerfully consider giving a gift today. Call 1-800-652-1144 with your gift. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can give at our website, swrc.com. Donald Perkins joins us on Watchmen on the Wall today to continue his verse-by-verse study of the book of Revelation. So open your Bibles, your minds, and your hearts as Brother Perkins shares the word.
We're continuing our series of understanding the book of Revelation. Now, last time we were with you, we actually began to go into the next set of judgments to enter the Great Tribulation, which are the trumpet judgments. Now, I want to pick up again at verse number 6 of Revelation chapter 8. As John wrote, he said, "And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." We talked about that these are seven angels that God is going to unleash upon mankind. These are seven distinct judgments that are now about to enter the tribulation. I also said last time that as we witness the judgments of the Great Tribulation, the seven seal judgment, the seven trumpet judgment, and the seven vial or bowl judgments, the judgments progressively get worse as the tribulation proceeds. Last time I was with you, we looked at verse number 7, and we talked about the first angel that sounded. So I want to pick up on there again, and then we're going to move right into these trumpet judgments as each one is blown. Verse number 7 of chapter 8, John wrote, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hell and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up." God is doing supernatural things in the earth. When the first angel blows this trumpet, this blowing of the trumpet will only be for the burning of the grass and the fields. Here, hellfire mingled with blood will literally fall from heaven. You know, this reminds me of the judgment that God brought upon the house of Pharaoh that had fire and hail mingled with blood. Here, God is beginning to judge mankind during this time of great tribulation. You know, when this happened, men would be so shocked to know that these type of events will literally begin to transpire. And again, it's going to only get worse as the judgments continue. Now, let's go next to the second trumpet sounding. We find this in verse number 8 of chapter 8. John wrote this. He says, "And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood." As this second angel blows his trumpet, this burning mountain is cast into the sea. And the scripture lets us know that, again, the sea becomes blood. As I reiterated earlier, blood would be a part of the tribulation judgment. And I think, again, it's because mankind shedded innocent blood. God is doing supernatural things in the earth at this time. The Bible says that a third of the sea would become blood. We'll go a little further here in verse number 9. John wrote, "And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea that had life will die, and a third part of the ships will be destroyed." So not only will a third part of the sea become blood under this second trumpet judgment, but a third of the fish in the sea will literally die as a result of this burning mountain, this judgment of this trumpet judgment. And then a third of the ships will be destroyed. This is a major judgment that will fall upon mankind, and mankind cannot imagine what he is witnessing. Now, I want to quote here Dr. David Jeremiah from his book, Escape the Coming Night. Listen to what he says in reference to this second trumpet judgment. He said, the second trumpet hurls something like a huge mountain, Revelation 8, verse 8, into the sea and turns a third part of the sea to blood, killing a third part of all life in the seas and ocean and destroying a third part of the ships. Imagine the chaos on cruise ships and cargo carriers after this catastrophic event. The naval fleets of every major country will be crippled beyond help. Seafood will be rationed, restaurants will go out of business, and the source of health, heart-healthy food will dwindle. God is doing supernatural events in the earth. Jesus said in Matthew 24, I'd like to go back there, Matthew 24, he said, this is a time that mankind has never experienced nor ever will experience again. We know now God did great judgments to the house of Pharaoh under Moses, but in the tribulation, they're going to be of greater magnitude. Greater intensity, these judgments. God is going to judge mankind during the tribulation, and again, it's going to affect life during that time. Now, let's move a little bit further, and we're going to look at verse number 10. Because in verse number 10, another angel is going to blow his trumpet, and when this trumpet is blown, look what's going to happen. Verse 10 of Revelation 8, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as if it was a lamp. And it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. Now, this is an amazing little prophecy here, because when this star falls, it's going to fall upon the rivers and fountains. Verse 11 gives us a little more details about this particular star that's going to fall. I want to pick up in verse 11. John wrote, and the name of the star was called Wormwood. Wormwood means bitter or poison. This is going to be a bitter star that's going to literally poison the waters. And the name of the star was called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood. And listen to this. Many men died of the waters because they were bitter. Now, you notice here in these trumpet judgments here, as God is releasing these judgments, these trumpet judgments, it's a third of this and a third of that. We ought to notice that as the judgments progress, when we go to the vial judgments, it's going to be the whole thing, not just a third of the sea or a third of the fountains. But now, under the trumpet judgments, a third of this and a third of that, that's actually coming under this particular judgment. The Bible says that the waters will be made bitter, or the waters will be poisoned, and a third of mankind will actually die as a result of this wormwood. This is a star that's coming during the time of the Great Tribulation. Now, I want to go on record and say this. There are certain groups today that are out there saying that they're watching a star right now that's headed to our planet, and they've already predicted when it's going to hit. You can't do that. The tribulation will be an event that will happen in the future, but only God will orchestrate these events. And only at that time, when God allows this second angel to blow his trumpet, will that star fall from the heaven during the tribulation period, during the seven-year tribulation. Again, it's a specific judgment that God is judging upon mankind. Now, let's move a step further. We're going pretty fast. Look at these trumpet judgments. Revelation chapter 8, we're going to pick up at verse number 12 and verse number 13. Listen at this. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so that a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying in the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. Now, this is an amazing prophecy. Here, John sees this fourth angel blows his trumpet, and when this fourth angel blows his trumpet, it's like an eclipse would take place. A third part of the moon will be smitten with an eclipse, A third part of the stars will be smitten, and a third part of the day will not shine. What's going to happen? It's going to be like a solar eclipse. It's like God is doing supernatural things in the heavens. It's like God is showing mankind, listen, I'm in control of the elements of the universe. I'm in control of the elements in the earth, and I am God. I can do whatever I want to do. God is going to show man that he's in control during the time of the Great Tribulation. These events are going to be so catastrophic that it's going to boggle the mind of humanity. Jesus said, a time this world has never seen, nor never ever will see again. Now, I want to go a little bit further in this verse here, because the Bible also talked about this angel as he's flying through the midst of the heaven. He's going to cry three woes. Woe, woe, woe. You know, the term woe means curse be unto me, or curse be unto. You know, the old saying, people say, woe is me. I don't say woe is me, because woe means curse be unto. Here, the angel is saying, curse be unto, curse be unto, curse be unto the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices. In other words, you have three more trumpets that will sound, and this angel says, curse be those inhabitants that will be here for the next three angels that will sound their trumpets. The judgments will intensify, and mankind is going to see some supernatural things. God is going to do supernatural things from the heavens that's going to literally blow mankind's mind. Again, under this fourth angel sounding, God's going to do catastrophic events in the heavens. Now, we're going to move to the fifth angel sounding. This is Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Now, this one is amazing. This really is one of my favorite ones to look at, because God's going to do some supernatural things here as he's going to release these locusts that we mentioned at the top of the program. Listen at this, Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. John wrote, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke out of the pit. Now, again, we're going to see something that's amazing here. Under the sounding of this fifth trumpet, the Bible says a star going to fall. We're going to find out that this star is not a literal star. We're going to find out this is an angel that's going to have the key to the bottomless pit. I believe it's the same angel that's going to have the key in Revelation 20 when he binds Satan in the bottomless pit. But we're going to see here that this angel will actually have a key to the bottomless pit. And what he's going to do, he's going to unleash upon mankind some locusts. The Bible says here that when he opens this pit, the smoke from the bottomless pit will literally darken the sun at this time. The air will be darkened by reason of the smoke out of this pit. Now, I want to bring in our prophecy chart here, and I want you to look here right at the mid part of the Great Tribulation. This is during the time of tribulation. This is where the Antichrist, at the midpoint, he's going to come on the scene, and he's going to desecrate the Jewish temple. But it's during this mid part here is where this judgment is going to literally be released upon mankind. And we're going to see something that's so amazing here, as God is going to release upon mankind this catastrophic judgment. Now, I want to go back and just touch something here. The Bible said that this angel is going to open up the bottomless pit. Now, I want to say something before I talk about the locust. You know, the bottomless pit is a compartment of hell. It's a literal place in the underworld. Now, I do teach, I'm one of those prophecy teachers that do teach that there are five different compartments of hell. We talked about it in our series looking at the reality of hell. The first compartment is called Abraham's bosom. It was called the paradise of old. It was before the cross. It was a place in the underworld where the righteous of the Old Testament went before Jesus died on the cross. Today, no Christian who's born again when they die go to Abraham's bosom, because Abraham's bosom have been delivered. But the second compartment is called Hades and Sheol. This is that compartment where the Bible talked about the rich man went during the time of Luke chapter 16. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he didn't repent. The Bible says he died, he was buried, and in hell, or Hades and Sheol, he was delivered into Hades and Sheol. This is the compartment where the spirit and soul of the unredeemed go during their time awaiting the judgment. But then there's another compartment called Tartarus. We find in Peter where Tartarus is a compartment where those angels that left their habitation, the Bible says, they tried to cohabitate with men, and therefore they overstepped their bounds and God judged them. The scripture says in 2 Peter that God cast these angels down to Tartarus and they are there reserved until the judgment. But the one we're talking about in this program today is from the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is another compartment of the underworld. And this is the compartment where these locusts that I'm about to talk to you about are coming from. This angel will come down and he will release upon earth these locusts from the bottomless pit. This is also the compartment that during the time of the millennial kingdom, that God is going to bind Satan in the bottomless pit. So this bottomless pit is a real, literal place. It's not symbolic. It's a literal place where Satan will be bound, and also it's a literal place where these locusts will literally come upon planet Earth during the time of the Great Tribulation. Now, let's move a little further, and we're going to go back to chapter 9, Revelation, and we're going to pick up at verse number 3 and 4. Listen at this. John wrote, "And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads." This is an amazing prophecy, ladies and gentlemen. Here, when this angel blows his trumpet, when the angel blows that trumpet and this judgment is released, God will open the bottomless pit. The smoke from the bottomless pit will be released. The sun will be darkened by reason of the smoke, but out of the smoke will come these locusts upon earth. These locusts, they are coming on assignment. The scripture says, and power was given to them. Authority will be given to them during the time of the Great Tribulation. Power was given to them as the scorpions of the earth have power. You know, a scorpion is very painful and very deadly. But we're going to see something here that these locusts, they have the power of a scorpion, but men will not die. Here he says, it was commanded that these locusts should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing or any tree. Now, what locust you know that doesn't eat grass or doesn't eat trees or doesn't eat corn or plague fields? Well, these locusts, because these locusts are supernatural beings, they are released from the bottomless pit. They are on assignment to judge and vex those men and women who have rejected God during the time of the Great Tribulation. Now, something that's amazing, too, about these locusts, the scripture says here that they are not to hurt those men who have the seal of God in their forehead. Now, you will remember from our last program, our program before, when we looked at this, the 144,000, the Bible said that the 144,000 during the tribulation, these Jewish men that God's going to use as servants of God, these 144,000 during the tribulation, they will have the seal of God in their forehead. God's name will be written in their forehead, and they will be sealed so none of the judgments of the tribulation will fall on them. And the judgments of these locusts will not touch the 144,000. But anybody else in the tribulation who does not have the seal of God, these locusts are on assignment from God, and these locusts will torment and vex men. Can you imagine men running, trying to get away from these locusts, and these locusts are stinging them with the sting of a scorpion? Now, let's pick up at verse number 5. This is amazing. Revelation chapter 9, verse number 5 and 6 says, "And to them, these locusts, is given that they should not kill them." Now, they're going to torment men, but they won't kill men. "To kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months." This is amazing prophecy here. I want to close this part and deal with you where you are. You know, the Bible says, whosoever who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. I want to give you a warning tonight. Jesus Christ died to give you life. You know, you can miss the judgment that I'm talking about here of the Great Tribulation and simply by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. When you give your life to Christ, you will miss the judgments that are coming during the time of tribulation. If you're born again, you won't face these locusts during the time of tribulation. But many people who are not born again, who will miss the rapture, they will find themselves in the tribulation and they will face these locusts that will be released upon them. You know, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. I want to say to you today, if you're not born again, you can simply pray a simple prayer like this. Lord, today I'm a sinner lost without you. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. Today, receive me as your son or daughter. Lord, I, by an act of my will, choose you to be my Lord and Savior. Jesus, wash me in your blood and cleanse me from all sin. Listen, praying a prayer like that will give you eternal life. Jesus will save you. Whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. You know, when you call upon him, you'll have life. And you know, the scripture lets us know today is the day of salvation. While there's breath in your lungs, this is a great time to receive the Savior.
Donald Perkins' series, Understanding the Book of Revelation, is now available. This 24-DVD set contains all 71 lessons going verse by verse studying the Book of Revelation. Order your copy of Understanding the Book of Revelation DVD series by Donald Perkins when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. This study is an excellent resource for churches, Sunday school classes, small group studies, and homeschool Bible classes. 71 lessons on 24 DVDs. Understanding the Book of Revelation. 1-800-652-1144. And to enhance and grow your understanding of Revelation, I've got some resources I want to tell you about. First, the book, No Uncertain Future, A Study Guide Commentary of Revelation by Dr. Larry Spargimino. The DVD, Revealing Revelation by J.R. Church, and Noah Hutchings' classic book, Revelation for Today. All three of these resources are available right now when you call 1-800-652-1144. No Uncertain Future, Revealing Revelation, and Revelation for Today. 1-800-652-1144. Biblical archaeologist Clayton Van Hus recently returned from his time digging at ancient Shiloh in Israel. He's here with some interesting information designed to help us stay biblically grounded.
This is the most famous Philistine site of all. This is the ancient city of Gath, the home of the giant warrior Goliath. The Bible tells us that Goliath was a Gittite, which means he came from the city of Gath, which we call today Gath. And that's it here today. We're standing on this tell. There's some archaeology here. But interestingly, the Bible tells us that Goliath was a warrior from his youth. He was a man of war from his youth. And you've got to wonder, did he stand here on this mountain and look out across these valleys and imagine the fights that he would have with the Israelites? We don't know. But if he did, there's an interesting thing right behind me. You see, there's a light patch far off on the hills. That's construction. They're building apartment buildings and that sort of thing. But that construction is happening right behind the Valley of Elah. That is where Goliath fought David. That's where Goliath was killed with a sling stone to the head. It's interesting how even the mighty ones have no idea what lies in store for them. We don't know what God puts in front of us. If we don't live our lives with humility, but with pride and arrogance like the giant did, then the fall is going to be hard. The fall is going to be great. And Goliath grew up looking right out at the place where he would fall. This is the Elah Valley, where the most famous example of single combat in history took place. Because behind me, on this hill, about 3,000 years ago, were camped the Israelites under King Saul. Across the valley, on the green hill, were camped the Philistines. And on one fateful day, a shepherd came into this valley. and he took up the challenge of the great Philistine warrior, Goliath. This is where David fought Goliath. This is where God showed his name and his power for generations to come. This is Beit Gvirim. Beit Gvirim means the house of mighty men. It's like the word we have, a lot of people understand, Gibberim. That's what we're looking at here. This is an interesting place. We're right here by the coastal plain. We're in Philistia. We're very close to Gath. In fact, this site is believed by many scholars to be Moresheth, the home of the prophet Micah. But this place is interesting. The history here in the Old Testament, you remember when the Israelites came into the Promised Land during the conquest with Joshua, but they were afraid of the Anakim, of the mighty men, the tall and powerful ones. And so they came into the land and they did chase the Anakim out of places like Hebron. And so we often look at the story of David and Goliath as being a sort of a, look, God will conquer the giants in our lives. You know, we trust in him, we go to him, and the giants are nothing. He can take them all down. I remember singing songs like that as a kid in our Christian school choir. I think there was a Patch the Pirate song about, you know, God is bigger than giants are. He can kill them all. And so that's how we grew up thinking. Sometimes we don't take the opposite lesson into our hearts because the people had seen God conquer many nations, had seen God even conquer the Anakim. And yet, when they came to this area and they faced off against these people who were tall and powerful, mighty men, they failed. They were too afraid to fight them. They let them live. They didn't trust in God. And so God did not take care of their giants. It wasn't until much later, when we have a nation of Israel after the time of the judges, that they were able to take care of this. So I think the lesson is, yes, God can take care of the giants in our lives, but if we don't trust in him, if we don't take the step forward, then the giants will get the best of us and they'll be left. The problem will just grow worse. But this area is an awesome area that just has so much biblical history, and it reminds us of lessons like that.
Summer is a great time to relax, spend time with family and friends. Summer is not a great time for Southwest Radio Ministries. As the temperature has gone up, the giving has gone down. It's a cycle that unfortunately repeats itself each year, and right now, we're in a large giving drought. We need you to please be praying and giving to help keep SWRC and Watchmen on the Wall through these difficult summer months. Please give today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also give on our website, swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Tomorrow, Josh Davis will count down the top 10 stories that point to the soon return of Jesus. Be sure to tune in by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is here because of faithful listeners like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.